Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and this is Carl from Deviant Legion and Film and Stuff, and glad you're with us tonight. And tonight we have a very, very special guest, Mr. Eric Eichelberger. He is the head of the Chaka Go Go Film Festival, which is premiering here in the Metro New York City area in Brooklyn forget the name of it, the Film Noir Theater, in Greenpoint, and that's from October 18th through the 22nd. And we're here all to talk about the festival and everything you've done. Eric, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So this actually came as a surprise to me. One of the people that is involved in the show, in the festival, is Scooter McRae, and I know Scooter rather well, and he's been on the podcast numerous times. And when I found that Chatter Dead was going to be running, then I like said, get me involved. So this was the first time you've done this in New York City, but you've also done this out in the West Coast too. So give us a little history of the festival and what you've done previous to this.
Okay. I did the festival for 4 years in the early 2000s, 2001 through 2004. And at that time, we were working out of a theater called the Palace Theater, and we had several guests, including, I don't know if you're going to be familiar with all these names, but I'll throw them out at you. Richard Elfman was a guest.
Oh, yeah.
We had Stuart Gordon as a guest,
nice.
The director of Reanimator. We had Joel Reed, the director of Bloodsucking Freaks. We had Roger Corman, who is the producer on several films and the director on many more. He has a long career. I won't list it out. We had David F. Friedman, who was Herschel Gordon Lewis's partner for the Gore trilogy. We had tons of guests over those 4 years. We had Ted Michaels, who did the Astro Zombies and the Corpse Grinders. We had Don Edmonds, who did She-Wolf of the SS.
You're hitting all the great ones as far as we're concerned. I know everyone.
So we had
people.
Lots of guests. And then I moved to New York at that time, and I was in graduate school, and I couldn't really find a place that was big enough, but also kind of, because that festival was really big. We had 300 and 400 people come. So to size it down to the size of the Pioneer, which was there at the time, would have been tough, only 100 seats, or some of the other theaters I was talking to, I'm trying to remember the names of them, but New York is at a premium basically. So, every place is smaller than in LA. So, a few years ago I had the idea to bring the festival back, and I partnered up with my partner Ben, for the LA shows. And, the first year, we had Blood Diner, with the director Jackie Kong,
trying to get her on forever. Yeah.
Oh, she's really great. No. And then we had this movie called The Greasy Strangler, where we had a lot of the cast there from the movie.
Oh, we know that one too.
so we had some really cool cult movies. That year I got COVID right when the festival was happening, so I couldn't even attend the person, which really sucked. The festival went off without a hitch. I hired a guy who worked for the festival years ago to come in and take my place when I was sick. And, he managed it. And, we also had Slumber Party Massacre that year with some of the cast, including Brink Stevens. And so that was, 2 years ago. And then this year, or that was, a year and a half ago. And then this year, we had Jim Wynorski, and we showed Chopping Mall, and then we had we were going to have the director of Blackula, but then he ended up having health issues. His son came instead, which was kind of wild and talked about his dad, which was cool. And then we had this movie, independent movie called Thrust. The director's name is Victor Bonacore, and the movie stars Linnea Quigley, and she came, as well as Frank Stevens came back because she was in one of the shorts. And so we had a bunch of cool guests in L.A., and I had taken a trip. I'm doing a documentary series called Exploit This, which is all about the history of exploitation cinema in America. And I, through doing 13 interviews in New York, I got acquainted with some people, and I kind of took it the opposite direction. Back in the day, when I was doing the festival in the early 2000s, I met a bunch of cool people, and then I had the idea for doing the film. So I started to do interviews, even as back as far as like 2004. And I started to do interviews for my what's now become a documentary series. And now I kind of took it in the opposite direction. I was doing 13 interviews, and I was in New York, and I decided, well, why don't I do a festival out here? Because I know a theater owner, and he's really cool and easy to work with. His name's Will. He runs the Film Noir Cinema. So I know a theater owner, and then I know a bunch of cool guests. So I was interviewing Larry Fessenden, and I was interviewing Bill Helfire. And I thought, why don't we show their films, you know? So we're going to be showing Habit, Larry Fessenden's movie. We're going to be showing a couple of Bill Helfire's movies, Duck and Mail Order Murder. And then Bill put me in touch with Scooter McRae to show Shatter Dead because they're on the same label, the same DVD or Blu-ray label. So that just sort of worked out for a night. And then that's going to be happening on Wednesday, the 18th of October. And then the following day, we're going to show Thrust again because we had such a good reception with that, starring Linnea, and also maybe if you're familiar with her, Erin Brown, a.k.a. Misty Monday, had a big career in the 90s, like a scream queen. She's in the film as well. And then a couple of starlets like Brandy Noir and some of the local cast are going to be there as well as the director. And we're going to show that. And then Tina Krause, who's also in some of Bill's films, made a film called Limbo. We're going to show that on the second night. And then we have an independent local director and his movie Plantasma. So we've got a triple feature on that night as well. Basically, we have three or more films each night. But I'll give you the whole lineup. So that's on Thursday, and then on Friday we have Peggy Sarno, whose husband was Joe Sarno, and we're showing a couple of Joe Sarno's films. Abigail Leslie is back in town, and Laura's Toys on that night. We have Bloodsucking Freaks playing that night, and then we have another independent film as well on Friday night with a director named Charles Lincoln. And he's also a local New York guy. So we're kind of doing a mix of local filmmakers, independent filmmakers, and cult movies, like older films and stuff like that. So then on Saturday, I had talked to Frank Henenlotter when I was doing his interview, and he doesn't really love to show his films, but he loves to talk about other people's films. So I said, well, what have you come out, and we choose a couple of your favorite movies. So he chose these movies, this 30s movie called Maniac. The director's name is Dwayne Esper. And then this movie called Raw Force, which is just an epic exploitation movie. And so he's going to be presenting those two movies on Saturday. And then we have more. Actually, throughout the day on Saturday, we have more local features. And really cool independent filmmakers starting at 1 p.m. and then we're going all the way past midnight. So it's quite the show. And on after Frank Henenlotter, we have Larry Fessenden's movie Habit. Larry Fessenden's going to be there on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we're showing a version of a pilot of my project that I was talking about called Exploit This, which is a thorough history of exploitation cinema in America. This is the first hour because this is going to be 6 1-hour episodes. So this is the first hour in its current form. We're going to screen that. Then we've got a couple of trauma movies. And then we've got some trauma people from the movies or trauma cast and crew coming out. And then we've got my film, Ghoul Scout Zombie Massacre. We also have cast and crew from that movie and myself on Sunday. So it's like 5 days of independent features, short films as well. Every day we've got short segments. And we also did short segments in LA. So yeah, we've got short horror films or short, you know, independent science fiction, horror, exploitation type movies. And, yeah, 5 full days of at least triple movies.
Wow.
Wow. So I think one of the things I really want to ask is that's a lot of work. I mean, just go through some of the processes of, you know, you have to contact these people and then, you know, the theater owners and all that sort of thing. Or have you done it so much it just seems to fall into place?
No, it's work. Yeah, there's work involved, absolutely. You know, promotion is a lot of work. Getting people in the seats, that's a lot of work. And going through watching the films that are submitted, people listening can still submit their films. In fact, this is a major way in which the festival is funded, is people paying a small fee, submitting their films on filmfreeway.com. You just go to filmfreeway.com and you search for Shaka-Go-Go. And that's how we found some of these independent filmmakers. Like I mentioned, for example, the movie Plantasma. We're showing another movie called Trap, a movie called Killington. These are happening throughout the festival, but a lot Saturday during the day. And we found these folks because they found us through Film Freeway. Film Freeway is a really good resource, both for filmmakers and for festival runners. It's been the way in which I was able to fund the festivals, the last two that were in LA and the one recently. And before that, in the early 2000s, when we didn't have a Film Freeway, and there was something before Film Freeway, I'm trying to remember what it's called, but it doesn't exist anymore, so I guess it doesn't matter. But before those two things existed, you know, it was much harder to find short or independent local movies. But now Film Freeway makes it really easy. So that helps us fund the festival. And then, of course, at least on the front end, and then, of course, there's ticket sales, you know, on the back end. But that's sort of the financial end of it. But and also in the past, we've had a lot of sponsors. We've got Vinegar Syndrome as a sponsor. We've got Something Weird as a sponsor. Pop Cinema was a big sponsor of us. Pop Cinema, a.k.a. IEI Cinema. Did I mention Vinegar Syndrome? Vinegar Syndrome, Satyr's Core,
yes, you did.
Is a big sponsor this time around. And then David Gregory's company, I'm blanking on names right now, but he's got a huge company that's Blu-rays as well. Arrow is another one. We've had a bunch of really cool. Oh, Anchor Bay, when they were around, was a sponsor of us. So we've got lots of sponsors that we've had throughout the years, and those sponsors have also helped us get this put on.
Well, I have to say, it's really nice to have something like this in the New York metro area, and particularly focusing on the independents. And that's what we tried to do here at Deviant Legion. I was part of Incredibly Strange Films for a number of years, and that's the largest movie group on Facebook. And and that particular group, every filmmaker you mentioned, they're either members or people mention them all the time. And a number of the people you've mentioned previous to Deviant Legion, I had partnered with a gentleman by the name of Stephen Ronquito, and Stephen got got into all these independent people, particularly more southern, like William Griffay and Joel Weinkoop.
Oh,
and
sure.
That, but he knows.
William Griffay is in my documentary. Who else did you say?
Joel Weinkoop, who's out of Tampa.
I would love to interview him. He's a really cool guy. Yeah, I was a big fan of Tim Ritter's
movies. I know Joel real well. I mean, I'll set you up with
Cool.
That's not a problem.
Tim too, because Tim, I loved one of my favorite cult movies. Actually, Tim Ritter made two of my favorite cult movies.
I know Tim.
But
also.
Truth or Dare is a movie I loved since I was young. I mean, I rented that movie hundreds of times when it was at the video stores. And this was just something we would watch over and over. And then later, I'm blanking on the name of his other movie that's really amazing. But he's got another movie with a bunch of zombies in it that I love.
Tim did a movie with Joel starring in it called Bad Cop No Donut, which is just absolutely hysterical.
I need to watch that one. He's in a couple of Tim movies. I mean, he's definitely in Truth or Dare.
They know each other extremely well, and they support each other, and they're partners more or less.
I love Tim Ritter's movies. They're funny as hell and great.
Yeah. You know, those 90s DIY people, which Scooter is part of them too, got to interview every one of those. We support smaller filmmakers. There's a couple that you ought to check into. One particularly, Joe Badon, who's out of New Orleans area. He makes, I call him the micro-budget Jodorowsky. He's insane.
Wow.
Another one, and you may know this guy. Do you know Joe Black at all?
No, I don't. I don't think so.
Joe's out of L.A. He's done a number of films. He just finished Vengeance. He does a lot of independent films out in that area. But there's so many. And what we try to do here at Deviant Legion is to support these people and to make sure that we can do whatever we can to help their careers and that sort of thing. So that's our sort of, shibboleth or, our watch cry, micro budget. And so it seems like you're exactly on the same wavelength with this particular festival and what you've told me so far. So that's fantastic. It really is.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I like that stuff. The 90s was a good time for the sort of micro budget movie because of the DVD boom. And that's definitely how Bill Hellfire and Tina Krause as well did their thing, was because of the DVD boom. But the VHS boom before that was also great for a lot of the people that, for example, Jim Wynorski, who I mentioned, works on very small budgets, by the way. The Chopping Mall was a hit on VHS. It was not, more of a VHS boom movie, and probably one of the biggest of that kind. So, the VHS boom and then the DVD boom. And now I guess we've got a streaming boom, but it's just so thick, that it's hard to kind of climb through it.
Well, that's the thing. Whenever a new technology happens, the first thing they want is content. So what do? They grab everything they can. I grew up in early HBO in the 70s. So I came of age that era. So the two things that were big for me was early HBO because we were one of the test groups where I was living, and also the drive-in. I worked at a drive-in. And so, I get to see Herschel Gordon Lewis, and I get to see
And I get to see all that stuff, Russ Meyers and of course, Joe Sarno's films. You know, that's why, you know,
right.
Friday, I've been trying to get Peggy on the podcast forever because I love her husband's films. Just absolutely adore them.
And some of his movies are just absolutely phenomenal movies. And, you know, I don't think that he gets as much credit because he was working in softcore movies for the amazing director that he is, you know. And so hopefully we get some people out on Friday that have maybe even never seen these films.
I messaged Peggy and I just said, you know, to me, he's the second best softcore exploitation director ever. And that's just behind Bradley.
I like Bradley. Bradley's in my movie as well. And we didn't actually catch Joe, but before he passed, but Peggy's in my movie as well as a buddy of mine named Jason Rutherford. I got an interview with Joe before he passed, and he's letting me use that interview for my documentary. So made a documentary that people just need to see. It's so good. It's like really great. But he's got to get it released, I think, in two goes because the movie's like 4 hours long. And I can sit there and watch it for 4 hours. I think it's the most amazing thing on earth. But, you know, I mean, the average viewer would probably want, you know, to do that in two goes or something. But it's his movie's called Masters of the Grind. And I saw it recently. They premiered it here in L.A. at a place called the Lumiere, where we did our festival. In fact, he was the one that introduced me to those theater owners. And it's a really cool documentary about. And it covers a lot of people that I don't really cover so much in my documentary, but they're really cool. and you know, people that I just wasn't maybe even that aware of. I had never seen the movie Malibu High, for example, and he's got the producer of this movie, Malibu High. The guy's name is Lawrence, right? And he's all over this guy's movie, and I'm like, oh, my God, this guy's great. He's really, really entertaining to watch. Apparently, he just moved to Japan, though. I'm trying to interview him for my documentary as well because he's such a great interview. But he's got tons of people in his movie that I had so many names in my head right now that I probably won't be able to come up with all these guys. But Diane Thorne, for example, is in his movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I never interviewed her. Right. Don Edmonds, who I said I had at my festival, he's allowing me to use that interview of Don Edmonds, but I never personally interviewed him. Because I just wasn't started on my project. You know, he got started even before I did. So he's got some of these people. And Joe Sarno is one of them. And he has Joe Sarno with Joel Reed, which I think is really cool because they were friends. And they sort of got each other into the business. And Joel Reed, I always knew because he came out to my festival back in the way back. And I interviewed him as well. But Joe Sarno, I only met him once at the Pioneer, actually. They were showing one of his movies, and 42nd Street Pete used to do a series at the Pioneer, and they were showing one of his one of Joe Sarno's hardcore pictures, and he came out for that. So I met him that night with Mike Rosso, who I also interviewed in the documentary. Mike Rosso did EI Independent Cinema. So a lot of these people, I was doing the doc interviews, and so I thought, well, let me put something together. And the impetus really was like, well, when Frank Henenlotter said yes, I was like, okay, well, if he's coming, people will come. Because people love Frank Henenlotter. So. But then, Larry Fessenden is a really accessible guy, too, and people love his movies. And also, I mean, he discovered Ty West, and that guy couldn't be bigger right now, so. You know, if people are listening to the podcast and they like Ty West movies, for example, you know, X or Pearl are the recent ones.
Right.
They would probably enjoy Habit, and they should come on Saturday.
There's no question of it. There's no question. And that's one of Larry's best films. Larry, of course, was had a small part in one of my favorite Ty West films, which is In the Valley of Violence. In the Valley of Vengeance.
Oh, yeah, the Western. Yeah, it's very cool. He's a great actor,
yeah,
also.
I Sell the Dead, okay? If you want to see Larry Fessenden, just go see I Sell the Dead. Trust me on this.
Yeah, that's a really fun one, too. And, you know, Jacob's Wife, where he stars with Barbara Crampton, is definitely a lot of
right.
fun. That came out like 2 years ago. It's really good. But yeah, he's a really interesting character because he's obviously made, you know, these big names, but he managed to also work with really small independent people, like you mentioned.
Well, you know, that all has to do with Class Night Picks. You know, his work there, and you know, I contacted him. I still haven't heard back, and I figure he's too busy. But hopefully I'll get to see him and try to get him on after the festival, because that man has done so much for so many filmmakers and actors and everything just by producing and just by being so competent in how he looks at film and what will sell and what he really wants to put out in quality. Because I have yet to see a Fessenden film that isn't quality, period.
Yeah, no, they're all really good. But I especially enjoy the stuff that he's directed. I think he's a great director. I'm his Frankenstein picture was really cool, if you haven't seen it.
Not seen that one. Now, I've seen The Last Winter, which I think is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, that's really good. All his films, because if you haven't seen it, any of his films, they're all good. And now I guess he's working on a Wolfman movie, he's working on a werewolf movie. So
nice.
I'll be excited to see that.
So, as you look ahead and you see that, you know, this is coming to New York, do you see this coming to any other place or you know, venue? Or do you see if it's successful that you'll be back, hopefully? I'm praying on it, actually.
I'd like to come back to New York, yeah, because there's a lot of stuff that we would probably be able to do that we're not doing here. And also, Will's easy to work with, and we're old friends. Like, I went to his I knew about his theater opening before it even opened. I used to go to his video store when it was at the video store. We would trade movies all the time, you know, just to watch. And so when I lived in New York, he was just sort of someone I would drop in on a bunch all the time. So as I lived pretty close to there his video store was right by the park. So I was always in the park and I would just drop by. There's a couple of guys, Gary Galaban, he's a good guy to know in New York who does little screenings and things. And Nick Zed used to when he lived in New York, but he's passed now.
Well, I actually tried very, very hard to get into the No Budget back in the early 80s when I first moved to New York. Didn't work out, but I did get a chance to like meet Slava Sokerman and I actually got a couple of times to meet John Doe too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but very, very, very cool. We just had somebody on by the name of Mark Manos. I don't know if you know Mark or not. But he did a film called Liquid Dreams, and I've been trying to get Mark on forever, and finally had him on, and we talked about John Doe, who was in that film. And Candace Daly was in that film, never mind. Anyone who's interested in that, we do have a podcast on that. You can look in the archives. I'll talk about that later. I'm sorry I'm taking time from you, Eric.
Oh, no, you're good. Do you mind if I just plug it? Like, if I just tell people?
No, not only do I mind, I expect it. Please.
So if people are listening and they want to check out the Shaka Gogo Film Festival, they can go to shakagogo.com. The whole lineup of films is on there. They can buy their tickets on filmnoircinema.com, which takes you to a link on Eventbrite. For $150, you can see the whole festival, or you can get $40 tickets per day for, you know, three films plus shorts and Q&As and stuff. Or you can see individual movies for $15. Totally up to you how you want to do it. Tickets are selling right now as we speak. Not a huge theater, so I suggest people get their tickets ahead of time because a lot of the shows will sell out. That's how you get your tickets. Like I say, the whole lineup is at shakagogo.com. If people are out there and they make films and they want to submit films, there's still time. They can go to Film Freeway and search for Shaka Gogo. They can also get full festival passes at Film Freeway as well. So that's a good resource. And check out Film Noir Cinema in general. They do great programming. It's a great space. It's in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. It's convenient to the G train, L train. And right by and close to MacArthur Park. So if you're a Brooklyn resident or if you can get to Brooklyn, those 5 days, it's happening October 18th through the 22nd. And on the opening night, we do have Scooter McRae's film Shattered Dead, and we have two of Bill Helfart's movies, Dr. Carbine High Massacre and Mail Order Murder. So check that out, and we're going to have some great shorts that night. And, that's all.
So when you go to Film Noir Cinema, what you want to do is you take a look at one of the films within the thing, and you click on it, then it'll give you the chances of buying for that film or buying for the day or buying for the full festival. I am definitely going to come Wednesday and Friday. I will probably be there part of the day on Saturday. Unfortunately, Sunday is out. I'm a church organist, so, and then I collapse after church. So that's not going to happen for me on Sunday. We'll see if I can make it Thursday, but I have some other things scheduled, so that's unfortunate, but you'll see me at least 3 of the 5 days. It's definitely a good thing to support, particularly, you know, if you're in the New York City area, this is something where you actually get to meet the filmmakers. You get not only that, but the festival people like Eric, and this is a good way of you know, just developing a whole network of people. And if you love films like this, go to a theater because you're sharing it with other people who want to be there too. And that makes it such a wonderful communal experience. And Eric, I will say this, if you do this again next year, I certainly will help you in terms of getting in contact with local filmmakers. There's a couple that I do know, and I'm making more contacts as I'm here. So
anything I can do to help you within the New York area, please put me on the list. I'd be glad to do whatever I can for you.
Awesome.
And our network, too, and
all the
things. Because many of the people that you have, we've already had on. I've had Lloyd on. I've had Bill Hellfire. Of course, that was back when I was working with Stephen. But I've talked to many and many of these people and have a good network of people. So absolutely, anything that I can do to help. It's been a pleasure having you. Is there anything else before we go in terms of what you got planned in the future? Because this is now almost over. So I'm sure you got some other things happening.
Definitely people should come on Sunday because they could see exploit this. And we've got interviews with everyone from Jack Hill to Herschel Gordon Lewis to David Friedman to Jeff B. Michaels. Everyone pretty much that was involved with exploitation is featured in that film, Exploit This. And this is just the first part. But come and check it out. It's really interesting. I think that people are going to dig it. And I think that's going to be maybe the little surprise hit of the whole thing, is people getting a chance to see Exploit This on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you've got your church organist thing, but if people that are listening come out on Sunday, they'll be in for a treat.
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, Lloyd is an absolute blast, okay? He just is a blast. And he loves
he's
people.
Great.
You know, so that's a great thing. After the 22nd and you're done with the festival, do you have anything else planned, or are you going to just take it easy for a while and just go, ooh, that's over?
Oh, no, we next spring we're looking at getting Lynn Lowry out here and showing a couple of her films, Shivers and the Crazies, the George Romero film. And maybe a film, like a more recent film that she was in. She's actually a working actress. She's doing stuff all the time. But she was in Radley Metzger's film, Score. That would also be
really
cool.
Yeah, she was in
show.
Score, absolutely. I've been trying to get Lynn for a while, too, so yeah.
Well, I can get you in touch with her. She's great. So,
okay.
Lynn, yeah, and I don't know. That's sort of all tentative, but I am in October, November, wrapping up the fine cut of Exploit This, and we're going to try and get a streaming company on board. We're going to try and get Shudder or another company to work with us to develop the other five episodes. So that's what's happening for me, project-wise. And then, yeah, next spring we'll have the festival in L.A. again, probably at the same venue, the Lumiere. And there'll be other guests, I'm certain of that, but right now we're talking to Lynn, and she probably will end up being the main guest.
Okay, well, Eric, I want to thank you very, very much for being on. I will definitely see you on Wednesday, the 18th, and Friday and Saturday, for sure. So,
all right.
So, and we'll do everything. I'll post this interview and get it edited, and we'll get this all posted out to all my groups and that sort of thing, and we'll do what we can to promote it for you. And by the way, I do have one other thing to say. Three of the filmmakers are going to be on. Victor Bonacor, I'm still trying to set up. Hopefully by tomorrow we'll have that set up. But we've got Charles Lincoln, who is going to be on the 10th with us.
Uh-huh.
And Tina Krause will be on with us on the 17th.
And she did the movie Limbo, which we're showing.
Right.
Bishop's Cove
right.
And Limbo.
And
very cool.
By the way, you know that Charles Lincoln is the son of Fred Lincoln?
Wow.
Did you know that?
Really? No, I didn't
really?
Know that.
No. Really?
He's the son of Fred Lincoln.
Yes. He's the
Fred
son
Lincoln
of Fred
is,
Lincoln.
Is still with us, or is he gone?
No, he's gone. He passed.
Yeah.
But, of course, you know, Fred
I don't know how many films he put out, like over 300, but probably best known for actually being an actor in Last House on the Left. And by the way, I can't think of his name right now, but the comedian is also in that. Mark Scheffler. And Mark has been on with us, too. So I'm going to try to get together with Fred, with Charles and do a separate podcast after the after everything settles down for the festival on the legacy of his dad. And try to get Mark Scheffler
That's
on.
That's awesome.
Too.
Oh, my God. Okay, yeah. Well, I'm going to be talking to him from my movie now that I know that. Thanks
yeah.
for the information.
Oh,
wow,
you're
I really
more than welcome,
that.
Man.
That's great.
You know, that's what I do. I research. It's sort of part of the job.
yeah, totally. Yeah. Well, I'm going to mention that to my partner, Adam, because he's going to be stoked. All right. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And as I said, if there's anything else we can do for you, please let us know. And if there's any other directors that want to be on, you know, there are some I have not contacted. Just let them know. Give them my name and just have them contact me through Facebook. We'll get them on easily. We'll do everything we can.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. And listen, folks, if you're in the New York City area, get your butts down there to Film Noir Cinema on October 18th through the 22nd. Take a look at www.shakagogo.com. Check out all the great films and have a great time supporting independent film and exploitation because we love them both. And again, Eric, thank you very much for being on. And for everyone that's listening, don't forget that all these podcasts are archived at Blog Talk Radio under Deviant Legion. It's very easy to find them. And we'll be talking to you later this week. And tomorrow I'm on a podcast with Steven, and we're doing a double feature of and that's on KSDAD radio, also on Blog Talk. We're doing the double feature of The Black Cat and Freaks. We're doing the commentary watch. So check that out, too. Again, Eric, thank you very much. And I think at this point we're going to say good night. Again, thank you.
All right,
Father.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate it.
Good night to you. Thank you.
Okay. Good night, everyone.